welcome to part two of our Christmas edition of A Load of Old Toffee. We'll start continuing the discussion amongst the group, and we start by asking Jeff Woad what he felt was a disappointment of the season so far.
I think going to my only away game so far this season at Wimbledon and being too drunk to actually remember much about it.
I'm going to do that at York.
Did you miss the goal?
I seem to recall all the goals, but I seem to recall the linesman also blowing me a kiss at one point.
Cheeky. See the things we miss, Steve, being the other side of the pitch.
Yeah.
But no, I'd go along with what Al was saying in terms of, you know, let's just get some consistency going. It's just ridiculous that there is no running form in this team.
It's tiring, isn't it?
Yeah. Why is it we can't get back-to-back wins? It's what, it's October 2024 in, isn't it?
I think it's been twice this calendar year with one consecutive game.
I'm going to end with three wins.
Not this season, though. Tranmere last season. Yeah. It was back-to-back win.
And it was a big... I can't remember the other one, actually.
Ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, just when you think that you're going to do it, and you turned, and there goes another defeat. Yeah. Richard, you're looking very...
Yeah, the chocolate milkshake is incredibly disappointing, I have to say. That game where I tweeted Barry Webber to ask him to explain to me how the game was a Category A game and how it was worth 20 quid. I've left games feeling like I've been shortchanged. I've never felt that in all the years. So that's disappointing. And Graham Wesley Mark III is not Graham Wesley Mark II. I don't want you accepting that the opposition's bigger or they've got a better history or they once beat us in a playoff 75 years ago, so we're going to lose to them today. We're going to beat this opposition, we're going to smash them, and this is how we're going to do it. That's what I want to hear from Graham. That's my biggest disappointment. He's not the old Graham Wesley, and maybe in the club shop they should sell a Where's Wesley book.
In fairness, Mark II never actually used to say we're going to smash
them. No, he wouldn't use that language, but yeah. I think he would laugh at some of the stuff that Graham now says. I don't think he would accept some of the defeatist attitude that the current Graham Wesley
that'd
portrays.
Be an interesting interview. Our current Graham, we're doing an interview, and then old Graham responding to his interview.
Wow. and can you stop playing last year's interviews after this year's game?
I love it.
Because that is extremely disappointing.
I love it, LB.
Yeah, right. Interesting concept.
Yes. Let's get a TARDIS so we could have that. That for me is disappointing.
It is. Creaky.
A couple of things on top of what's been said. One, living in Cambridgeshire and working in Cambridge, pretty disappointing
that
this
must
season.
Be disappointing.
That is, considering the grief I've given them over the last 5 years, it's been pretty disappointing. But the other one is being more likely to see the real Father Christmas than the 20 goal a season striker that we signed. That is really disappointing for me. Well, I even saw him in the friendlies.
I didn't see him. We've seen two 10-minute glimpses of him from the bench, and we this season. They've both been at home.
Yeah.
I recall him missing a sitter last minute.
Yeah.
So against York.
Yeah.
I also remember. I think it might have been the same game that he came on for. I think he was on for about 8 minutes, wasn't it? And Wesley actually said afterwards that because his fitness level only allowed him to play 8 minutes. And I was just sitting there like,
and you were
this is impressive football. It's football, what, 5-6 days a week, and 8 minutes is all he can manage. I can't. That's my best.
Imagine what would have happened if he played nine.
Wow.
I genuinely
maybe he's only ready for seven. That's what he plays.
I genuinely think in my current state of fitness I could go and run solidly for 8 minutes.
I think we should do a test. That would be brilliant.
Have you ever played football against Darius Charles though? That is the question on everyone's lips.
I haven't done that, no. I thought my biggest disappointment.
Oh, go on then.
While we're on strikers.
We've had to stop here and head over to you, Mark.
I think it's that Jordan Burrow's got more goals than all our strikers combined this
eight.
Season.
Top score goal scorer at Lincoln. Good lad.
And you're laughed.
I can always pick a good striker.
He was good at Port Vale, it was next.
I tweeted him the other night. He got a double a couple of weeks ago.
Against Nottingham, wasn't it?
Good lad.
Three of our four top goal scorers were on the bench on Saturday. Mm. We weren't even in the side. And then one of them come off the bench to score.
Yeah. After having a sickness bug, of course. Carlisle away.
That was pretty disappointing, wasn't it?
16 hours with him, firstly.
Well, it was 16 hours with you as well for me, Dean.
Well, I just bear that keep mind. Quiet and play Candy Crush, but, you know, that's not allowed.
What are you on?
345.
Count wind socks.
Count wind socks all the way out on that last leg. There's a lot of wind socks alongside that motorway, isn't there?
Mm.
And, yeah, that was dreadful that day. And we got in trouble, didn't we?
Well, you got me in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, they did beat us in 2005, so.
Were you not as positive as you might?
Big club, aren't they?
Big club.
I was obviously very negative that day.
He got in big trouble that day for being a negative influence on the club.
Have you got an agenda?
We all know he likes to make mountains out of molehills.
He's got an agenda.
Certainly.
We lost because of the commentator.
And the M6
sort of commentator.
And the M6 was open.
Hey?
Dave Besant on the bench.
Dave Besant, yeah, of course, that day, yeah.
Just to overshadow the fact that
was
Dave Besant.
That was all the buzz before the game, wasn't it? It was a real buzz.
Was he gonna play?
It was. In the press box, it was like. Besant,
yeah.
It was just like. National news.
My
ridiculous, wasn't it? Signs 55.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting there, I'm like,
that was embarrassing, quite frankly.
The thing was, we'd heard a whisper that he was going to be on the bench against Luton the week before, and young Tyler was on the bench. So we kind of had heard a whisper that it was coming, and but we thought it had passed.
I genuinely thought it was embarrassing. It was just a way to take the attention off.
But that's I totally agree. It's the first time I've actually genuinely been embarrassed about it, and it's. As most of you will all agree, it's hard enough trying to back yourself up that you support a League 2 team.
Yeah.
To all your mates who sit at home and watch Premiership. But to have something like that as well, it's just, it makes it look like...
I was at Dunwich Bognor and I pulled my phone out to see how we're doing. Yeah. See how we're doing. I've opened my phone, I've got messages like, why have you got a 50 whatever it is on the bench? Why have you got a 55 year old bench? Twitter's blowing up about it. I thought, nah, off.
I made it into the Daily Mail that day, didn't I?
Yeah.
Ray Clements wasn't available.
The thing is, there was no guarantee he was actually going to play in goal, though, was there?
No.
You can imagine it. Stick him up to 9 on his back.
Just put him up front, now they're just with
it. You can imagine that.
Stick
him
number 9 on his back and play the left back.
As he left foot.
Nobody would do that. Let's not get carried away, Mark. We'll just have to take it one step further.
Can he communicate?
Well, I remember Les Seeley playing out on field for West Ham once. Put on Keith Rowland's shirt. Came off the bench. I can't remember what the circumstances were, but I just remember Les Seeley playing.
Must be quite bad, I'd imagine.
I have no recollection of what happened. I just remember it happening.
We did have a young keeper at Borough once who left and dropped down, and he ended up playing out of goal for Welling Garden City. I think a couple of seasons later.
Who was that? Andy Quay or someone like that?
I don't think it was him, but young lad.
Don't remember. Ian, I think you've covered most of them. We've gone through the inconsistency. I don't think we've mentioned being knocked out of every single cup competition at the earliest available opportunity. Apart from the Hearts Senior Cup and having a trip away to Maidstone. The Wesley post-match interviews and the excuses, playing players out of position. The thing that's annoyed me most this season was the interview and his rationale for not playing Birra. I blew up on Borough Chat about that big time, if anyone didn't notice.
you did a bit.
Yeah, I did. That really wound me out for some stupid reason. I shouldn't let it get to me. Biggest disappointment this season for me, I think, is the split in the supporters in terms of those people that are pro-Wesley and those people that are... It doesn't matter what Wesley does now. There are a lot of people that he ain't going to win over ever again, and it's almost like having a tooth and you're waiting for it to fall out. There's almost an inevitability about it, and the inconsistency for me is just going to keep feeding that. And you know, we might get one win and then we'll play badly for a couple of games, and all that negative atmosphere comes back up again. The terraces are all quiet and miserable, and you come away from games not even enjoying them that much. So that's a big disappointment for me, because I go to football to enjoy myself and watch a good performance. I don't really care if we win all the time. But it's just, there's an atmosphere at the moment of negativity around a lot of the fan base.
It's the worrying thing is we are seeing some scenes, aren't we? I mean, Northampton, Newport, you know,
even Saturday, you had some idiots chanting
And I've got no problem with people venting their frustrations with Graham if they're frustrated with him. But there were some stupid songs going on the terrace. And I could sense
it.
some of those. And I stand in front of the people that sing at the back.
You're going to like strongly worded text.
There were people singing songs about Catholics and Protestants on our terrace. And what was the point of that?
Anti-IRA.
There seems to be this self-promoted controlling group. And I think they were just trying to wind them up, to be honest. Yeah. I think that there's been murmurs of the booing when people were singing "There's Only One Graham Wesley," and I think that they've just jumped on that bandwagon, and I think that they were singing stuff just to wind the group who stand right at the back in the middle, who, you know, fair play, they're always positive, they don't want to be singing negative songs, and I think that they just got to be under their bonnet about wanting to wind them up, and I think they were just singing as many ridiculous songs as they
I think it was a bit more than that Saturday. I think it was a group of lads who were looking for a reaction, and they didn't get one.
But it's divisive. It's not. It doesn't create a nice atmosphere.
Are they regulars?
I don't think so.
No,
I haven't seen them before. But
not all of them.
Well, maybe not all of them, but there are a core of a few of them that I've seen on most games this season.
It didn't filter out from that area though, because
there was ample
Liam,
didn't around
you?
The
yeah, I mean there was
East Terrace Saturday.
The last 20 minutes after I
great,
yeah,
that
was great.
That was the exception to the East Terrace being.
You leave
it. Yeah, they're all cheering me when I left. I've done my bit. I did circumvent the head with the ball and gone home.
Yeah.
I missed Super Borough Saturday. There wasn't enough Super Borough song, was there?
No.
I think we sang it after we scored.
I've missed him for the last 2.5 years.
So what's been your biggest disappointment, Ryan?
I was going to say the exclusion of Bira and the logistics behind the exclusion of Bira. I think it's got to be Maidstone, to be honest. I mean, that was absolutely gutting.
Mm.
And I think it's the first game where, again, it was just embarrassing. I mean, it was just, that's not a game that Stevenage lose. The mentality that we've always had, and the thing that's got me hooked so much, and you touched on it earlier, is we just would never have lost that game. We would never have gone into it with the same attitude, and the fact that he even attempted to come out and suggest that they were an established club was just outrageous. I don't know why he's all of a sudden changed his mentality to this, giving people too much respect, because he never said quite rightly that he would go out and smash teams, but there was never a sign of negativity, not a jot of it, and it was every game we go in genuinely thinking we could beat absolutely anybody, no matter who they were, no matter what players they had, we genuinely believed we could beat them, rightly or wrongly. We had that siege mentality, everyone going in the same direction, everyone just truly believed that we were, you know, a winning machine, as Wesley would probably call it. And that's just completely dissipated, and I think that's what's disappointed me, and the inconsistent atmosphere as well, because that's what got me hooked in the first place.
What really disappointed me about that is we've done our own share of giant killings, so we've played against the Newcastles,
and
we've never taken the mick, really, have we? We
sort of just get on with it, and, you know, afterwards when we can't quite believe we've beaten a Newcastle, that's when we'll start. But we, you know,
but we know the determination those sorts of sides have, because we've had it.
Yeah.
So to then go out with a whimper like that,
and we just looked so inept against them.
Yeah.
Like there was no way we were going to win that game.
We were just appalling. From 1 to 11, we were appalling.
We played the game that they play every week.
Yeah,
we just talked about how we beat Exeter because we played a game they don't like. So we play Maidstone and we play the game they play.
And this is what baffles me, is that before the Mansfield game, he came out and said that. Mansfield playing a certain way, and in all fairness to him, they did exactly that. They were quite one-dimensional, I thought, of playing a lot of the diagonal long balls, and it obviously, you know, works from... They had a good start at the time. I think they were up near the top when we played them. And we changed our game plan, and we absolutely played them off the park. They were playing, I think, two of the goals, diagonal through balls onto the wing.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, really, really good football. And the next game, we played Luton, and all of a sudden we go back to playing how he criticised Mansfield for playing.
Mm-hmm.
Mansfield was, they were playing three at the back, and I think Dino had played it with Northwich, and Steve Evans had gone there and put two high wingers on either side, so they were already straightened the other defenders because they've only got three at the back in the middle, and Dino's obviously seen what Mainz were doing and said do this, and that's how we got the two early goals, because we're behind them. But they brought four back to stop that happening, and that's when it petered out a bit and stopped being a quick start to the game, because they've at that point they were done, and Bielo got someone subbed off because he was losing it.
Similar to Saturday, wasn't it?
Okay. What about you, Steve? What's been your biggest disappointment this season?
Except for Simon Morton, for me, that was that's been the biggest disappointment. It really has, because I've still got big hopes for him.
I don't think it's too late for him.
No, but he's fit. What you say that to Graham? He was when he just came back from injury. Well, when he got injured, he was in the top three for the fitness test. When he came back from injury, he was out of the top 11. But within a week or two, he was back up to the top three again. He is fit. He doesn't look fit. He's a big lad, isn't he? But I think he is, you know, he gets around. And
that's
what the manager told me anyway.
That's what he wants to do well. He's got the right attitude, I think, but he just doesn't seem to be applying the ability that he's shown in pre-season.
I think you see it, a disappointment, you know, when he got that first injury. I mean, you can see it on his face, he was gutted, and he does want to do well, but
he'd be brilliant on a big pitch, wouldn't he? He would be brilliant on a big pitch.
He could play for an NFL team in field goals.
Well, yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see him again. I know that sounds like a really rash thing to say, but all of a sudden he's dropped him, and he said a couple of weeks ago at that open day, training day, whether it was rubbish or not, that he doesn't like Walton's diagonal balls, but he gets himself into a situation where he gives himself that as an only his option. And if Wesley's saying to him, I don't like you playing these long balls, and he's insisting on doing it, you know, what Wesley but doesn't put up for people that
I
are
thought
not
he was one of the, in the five goal though, I thought he was one of the men of the match. I thought he controlled the ball in the middle of the park, but he kept it simple. He just laid it off.
But that's my point. He's one of those players that if he plays well,
I will play well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is it that we're playing well and the opposition aren't that great, so he looks better?
Well, maybe. I don't know.
So is he consigned to the Andy Bond bargain basement?
Cool. Andy Bond. You go.
Forgot we even
got
him. Yeah. I think he's had a bit of a rough. I know he's slow. I know he's not the fastest player we got, but there is something he does.
Mentally.
No. He just. If you play the right way, he can. He has a way.
He's
of,
got hundreds of Football League experience,
and he supports the back four. The way he stands in front of a man when he's going up for header and stops at a man winning a header. I'm not seeing
him
on the
match. He can't pass the ball like
he's not
five,
even.
Yeah, I think that's
running up and down after the game. He's not there.
I'm with you. I think he gets a rough.
Yeah,
line.
I think he does.
And
I don't think he's that bad.
I think we're always looking for a midfielder to be the creative one and everything. I think he does a lot of dirty work, and
I quite liked him to start with.
Positionally,
like
when we're defending,
the
he's always
games.
In front of the striker when someone's up behind him and stops him playing.
I think he's rubbish.
I really do.
So in the services and away from Newport, someone, I can't remember who it was, has said they quite like him. The look I got off Chuds.
Yeah.
Of just pure disgust.
Yeah, and I wanted to like him because I think you do need that disruptive defensive midfielder, but I don't think he covers he moves across the back four well enough. He's not quick enough. He doesn't
no,
read the game well enough.
No.
And he always looks like he's struggling to actually run. I'm almost thinking the walking football that they do at the academy might be better for him. He hasn't cut out Stevens at all, and I don't like to slate players, but for me I think he's one that in January thanks very much off to go try somewhere else.
Talk me through this walking football.
It's what they do for old people, isn't it?
It sounds like my street.
Over 50s.
It's like when you're doing walking races, you're not having both feet off the floor at the same time. It's playing football at that pace.
So
it's people without conditions.
Can't play because he can't tackle without 2 feet on the floor.
Over 50s, creaky. You still hope for yet?
You're not allowed to run that thing, are you? You might make it.
All right, so what do we want then from between now and the end of the season? Right, we'll go down the other way.
Just beat Cambridge. That's the arse at the start of the
just
season.
Just to beat Cambridge.
Yeah,
you'd be happy
with
that?
I'd be happy with, just as long as we don't
I would,
Cambridge.
Otherwise I'm going sick that week.
What, our old mate Richard Money? Old Messy Pants himself?
I'll see him in Cambridge every week on a Sunday lunchtime, full Cambridge United strip. full tracksuit on Sunday lunchtime. Yep.
Not the football kit, but his full tracksuit.
Yeah, no, like, yeah.
Sunday lunchtime, walking around the shops with his missus.
Shin pads.
The only clothes he's got.
Unbelievable.
I absolutely despise Luton as a club. But as far as...
Might be the best opening to a sentence ever.
But as far as rivalry, Stevenage rivalry, it's always been Cambridge. I came in a little bit too late to really get on the Woking rivalry. But for me, it's always been Cambridge. And I think that's the picture I looked for at the start of the season.
Two FA Cup games, wasn't it? When we were non-league and they were league.
Next year will be the one when Barnet are back.
Safely bottom third of the table but surviving comfortably, so we haven't got to worry about the end of the season.
You want to see us bottom third?
No, I want to see us finish at least in a comfortable position. Realistically, I don't think we're going to be about halfway come the end of the season. We're not consistent enough. But I want to see us in a comfortable position to survive, so we haven't got to sweat the last four or five games.
Yeah.
And I want to see a squad that's together and as few fallings out with the gaffer as possible, so that we've got the best option on retaining the best squad for next season, so that we don't have players disappearing for months on end with lots of rumours as to why they're on. Are they injured? Are they ill? Can they not speak English?
Do you want a new manager?
No, I genuinely don't. I want stability. But I don't like the idea of people like Parrott being out of the game for a long time and rumour speculation as to why he's not playing. Same with Bira. If he's not good enough, fine, say so and sell him. I ain't got an issue with that. But this player's disappearing for months on end really winds me up.
Yeah.
We can't afford to have players sitting there taking away doing nothing.
Especially players of the calibre of Parrott and Bira. Because
best defender in below the championship at one point.
I mean, he says it as a joke, but I think
he went for a real purple patch then, didn't he? And he was playing brilliantly, albeit in a poor old relegated side. But
even more so though, if you're a team that's getting beaten most weeks and you've got a defender that's playing well, if anything, I'd say that's better than a defender that's playing well and a team that's winning every week. Because
he looks totally bereft of any confidence at the moment.
Yeah,
for me.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to be isolated, isn't he?
And of course we've got future England striker, so we can finally stick him up front if he plays Bira. So it's kind of double-edged sword, really, if you look at it.
I like Darius at centre-half. Darius is probably one of our best centre-halves.
I ain't moaned about him for a few weeks now.
For me, it's his best position by a mile.
I moaned a lot.
Didn't really mention him Saturday, did we? And that was a sort of because he was just getting on with it.
He's much better in the air when he's playing centre-half than when he's playing centre-forward, isn't he? That's for sure.
Yeah.
He still has a couple of old smudger moments though, anyway. Yeah. You just think you've had quite a good game here, and then he goes to give it a big hoof up the field and goes behind him.
New York. He did clear one up into the air, didn't it?
Went
over to Fairlands Valley and then sort of spun back again, didn't it? And ended up sort of bouncing and
You say a smudger moment. Smudger used to get himself in.
He used to on purpose.
And he used to be able to get himself
in trouble.
After bicycle kicking the ball off the line, it's impossible to criticise him for anything. That's just.
Dino,
I just want us to finish 6th to 10th, which I think I said some time ago, and we ended up being relegated. So I'll stick with it, and hopefully we do. I don't think we need to be getting in playoffs and stuff like that. I think we're ready.
If you finish sixth, you're in playoffs, Dino.
And you keep the nucleus of this squad, and we're gonna have a real good go at it next season. Right?
Creaky.
Yeah, I think it's been mentioned before. I just want to see consistency, and I want to see the old Borough back like we saw on Saturday, about a team that's committed and fighting. Because I've heard a lot of very dedicated supporters who have supported the team for years are actually saying, do you know what, I'm leaving early. I've never left a match early. I might not, you know, if this carries on, I might not turn up. When you hear that from those sorts of people, start worrying. So a bit of consistency and a bit of fight.
We need unity as well, don't we?
Yeah.
On the pitch, in the management team, in the stands as well. Everyone's got to be together. We overachieved when we got from Conference to Division 2 to Division 1. Don't care whether he says we did or didn't. We did. We overachieved.
I've got a bit of a thing about the phrase the old Borough. Because when people say the old Borough, they mean that one really exceptional team, don't they? Because the old Borough for me was finishing 15th in the conference every year, not being out of string three passes.
Yeah, wasn't out of three wins.
Maybe we should go.
That's the old.
Maybe
borough.
We are
the old Borough.
Yeah, the good and
hard.
Yeah,
what we
want.
Westley,
Westley,
not the one that can lose against Hayes. I didn't want to go that far.
Yeah, right. Westley Borough.
We want that once.
If this was hypnosis regression, just come.
Yeah, I know.
Oh yeah, I've just resigned to the fact that we're just going to be a mid-table wallowing around doing nothing team for a few years. It's much better for your blood pressure.
I think it'd be fine if someone just said that was our objective.
Yeah.
I think if someone came up
think it
before the end
objective.
Of the season and just said, no, fine.
What do you want to do this season? Well, no, just mooch around, win one, lose one.
But if someone came out between now and the end of the season and just said, right, let's get a clear objective and a clear sense of identity of what we're trying to achieve and say, this is what we want to do between now and the end of the season.
I think
because you control everyone's expectations instantly because everyone knows what the goal is. Whether they agree with it or not, that's a entirely different matter.
That's what you need, Jess.
If they just say, this is what we're aiming for.
I think Wallace did that.
Yeah,
a stabilisation.
At the Meet the Chairman event, Wallace was quite clear that his biggest fear was that double drop. and what he wanted more than anything was, let's get stable first.
Yeah.
And once you're on that level, so I think that was Wallace's expectation. Let's just survive here, take stock.
It took us 15 years to get of inconsistency to get that squad that went on that amazing run. It might take us another 15 years before we do it again. It's a bit of a depressing thought. But
did he not also say that he'd review things in October if things weren't going too great?
Yeah.
And they
I think he said he was talking before Christmas, wasn't he? That he was going to—he would say we'd review things if
it's still time.
Great, and it ain't Christmas yet. But if you look at our form in terms of a home form, that's keeping Graham in a job. End of story.
Mm.
Is the best home form we've had since we've been in the Football League.
Maybe he did review things.
But what's going to go
maybe
first?
Maybe thought I don't know how to pick
is
up.
Is that
away from not Graham Wesley, so left it as was.
Or is our home form going to dip?
Yeah.
What?
That's the big question.
I thought after when we drew with Morecambe, I thought. Well, we're not picking our away form up yet, but now we've drawn at home. So that's now immediately, to either side, of, like between two away losses, we haven't won. So what's going to go for? Are we going to pick up away or are we going to drop off at home?
But if John Ashton had been on the pitch that day, we'd have won. Don't you listen, Albie.
Well, to speak like Graham, our away form will only get better.
Can't get worse.
Exactly, yeah.
Richard, what are you looking for?
I'm looking forward to, at the end of the season, us all being round the circle and Graham being here and us having to apologise to Graham because the Stevenish that we want is back.
He'll be looking forward to that.
He's got it penciled in.
I'll happily do it. If I can leave a game feeling that the players have put a shift in, that we've been in people's faces, we're horrible Stevenage, and I go to somewhere like Oxford, I know that a player's going to go down, so I go and have a drinks break. I just want those days back. Give me that back, I'll be happy. And I don't care what the results are, and I just want to stay on loan to the Football League.
He promised us people booing as we arrived at away ground, Steve, didn't he? Yeah. And they're still coming up to us and shaking our hands. Oh, come in, have a cup of tea. I'll even give you a mince pie at Newport.
I want you to be
booing us as we walk in and as we walk out.
Be the ground that no professional footballer wants to come and play an away match at. That's what we used to be. Let's be that again.
I don't think Exeter still wanting to come on Saturday. But then. Jeff. Rob. Jeff.
to reiterate what Creaky was saying, consistency. Not just consistency in terms of results, but consistency in terms of formation, consistency in terms of performance. But also, I seem to recall from the chairman's event back in the summer that not only were we looking at stability, but I thought that the whole ethos that was now being employed throughout the football club was an attractive style of play, or certainly entertainment to get the crowds back in, and I'm not sure that I've seen that. I mean, I'm realistic. I think in the I'm not expecting tiki taka. I'm expecting a bit of passion, a bit of blood. You know, last minute tackles, a bit of blood and thunder. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not expecting us to pass it around, retain possession for 28 passes or whatever. But ultimately, I mean, when we played Morecambe, I missed Morecambe's goal because I was on my phone. It's like, hang on, I shouldn't be on my phone. I should be watching a football match.
I'm like that.
Yeah, and it's starting to get like that this season.
Yeah.
It's true. Albie?
I'd like to go to an away game instead of awkwardly avoiding the gaze of home fans giving me the scoreline gestures and leaving the ground with my head down and hoping no one notices I'm not from there. I'd like to go to a game and actually give it back to them for once and say, we've beaten you. Instead of could keep your head down and thinking, God, not another one. They were laughing at me right now. Actually, I'd have to give it back and say, we've beaten you. But can't remember anything.
I know that feeling.
Yeah.
Liam?
I'm more or less the same. I just want a few away wins in the next few of work. I just want to enjoy away games again. the main thing of away games these days is just, you know, going to the pub before and after.
Everything but the football.
I mean, these days.
You've got a problem going there, I tell you.
That's what an away game should be about. That's what it's ever been for me.
I just want to see
an hour and a half excuse to go drinking all day.
Will?
Yeah, just sort of what these guys have said, like a dedicated performance where we let the players, like, they're working for the manager and like no fallouts. I know obviously there might have been a few this year, like with Parrott. We're pretty sure it's a fallout, but maybe he was like giving him a bit of a rest because, like, mentally from his injury, was he giving him a breakout? Because he was, before, he wasn't really going into tackles and he looked really committed on Saturday. But yeah, just committed performances, like away teams like bitching on their message boards saying, oh, they're a big, strong, physical, dirty team.
Don't want to roll over in the first 20 minutes like we've done in certain games. And
you want rid of Warren?
No, we can let him go.
Prepare to give him a chance.
We should do a special when Will met Walt.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah, just snip all those little bits and just as they come in, just play them out.
It's about having the pride of when people say they're a big, physical, dirty team, say, yeah, but they might be physical, dirty.
Exactly.
You know, being proud of that.
If I can talk about Parrott, and I mean, I know that I, in the blind haze of drunkenness, maybe disagreed with you, Ryan, on Saturday night in Borough Chat, and in the cold light of a sober morning.
I love Borough Chat after a bottle of red.
I know. But going back to that original fallout where he was taken off after 15 minutes, he literally just got booked. It was a 50-50 challenge coming up, and I had this discussion with you, Dino, I think, on Twitter. 50-50 challenge coming up. If he'd gone into that full-blooded, got another yellow, Graham would have been going berserk. So because he's held back a little bit, he's still gone berserk. And I just don't understand that. Lee Hills last season got booked in the first couple of minutes. and then he almost got booked again within the next couple of minutes. So he's hauled him off.
He did it to Rory twice or three times, didn't he, last season as well? Mm. And he turned to Row F because they were giving him some serious. And he explained it to him. He said, I'm not having ill discipline in the side. He's going to get himself sent off. And he missed that challenge there, and that challenge there. I mean, it didn't help the old boys in Row F. I understood it, and I could see where he's coming from. But, you know, I've looked into his eyes, so I am GW's biggest
fan.
You can kind of
see which players would be oiked and which players would be carry on.
How Birra Dembele stayed on the pitch at Northampton, I do not know. After the look in Graham's eyes and Dino. If he had any hair, it would have been gone, wouldn't it? They were absolutely raging. And I said, he's got to come on. He's got to wake him. And he didn't. Yeah. How he stayed on the pitch that day, I don't know. I've never seen anyone survive that.
Just on Graham's eyes, but last time I was on here, I was on about, I'd never looked in someone's eyes and seen fire burning in their eyes with ambition, and that was Graham Wesley. I haven't spoken to him this season. You guys have.
Mm.
Is that burning still there? Is that intensity still there in him?
I think he's a bit more of a humble man at the moment.
I think Preston shook him more than he'd probably admit.
I think it did. That was a difficult time for him. And difficult as well that they didn't come away as a threesome. I think he was disappointed that Tumble stayed as well. So it's him and Dino were sort of... I don't know, I mean...
He's not as bullish as he used
to
be.
He's still got that twinkle in his eye. He does like a little bit of the banter, doesn't he? Before the mic goes on and after it comes on.
And that still comes across.
Yeah, but I think he just wants to get everybody's expectations at a level. I think he knows that we've been in a mess and he wants to put it right. And, you know, I like to think he's the man that's going to do it. I think last season was a bigger eye-opener than Preston, probably, because I think he thought he got it right with some of the players. But you're paying big money to some of these guys, and I don't think, you know, Stevenage was used to paying $3,000 or $4,000 a week for a player, which we were, which, you know, worries me when you look at some of their performances in League One. And he had to get them sorted, get them out and get that budget back on track, which he's done. But we've got too many young pups that we had to blood straight away. We had no Beardsley, we had no Walton, did we? And, you know, we were relying on Lee and Welkdale quite a lot, but I don't know. I think he's still got it. I do.
Mark, have you told us yours, or have you?
No, I haven't.
Go on then.
I'm looking forward to getting these players back from injury and seeing what this squad's like when it's when it's at full strength. Seeing whether whether things are as wrist slittingly bad as everyone's making them out to be, or whether actually we have been a bit unlucky or not. I don't know which way it will go, but I think if we can get a full strength squad, it'll be interesting at the least.
That's right. I mean, there's no excuses. That's your squad. Pick from that.
Well, he told you Saturday. There ain't no one coming in January, is there?
He made the choice to have a smaller squad because he said it was a much better squad. Well, all right, we haven't been out to see that yet, so let's get these lads back fully fit and see whether he was right or not. And if he weren't, then I'll be straight in the zero.
Do we include the loanees in that?
No. Not saying I want all of them to go back, because I rate a large proportion of the lads he's brought in on loan. But this squad was made out to be the bee's knees, and I want to see how close it is.
I felt there were panic loanees as well.
Some of them were, yeah.
People were talking at that time about what Wallace said about late October, and then all went four emergency loan signing. That's not something you do when your squad's the best squad you've ever had. Well,
Josh Clark and Michael Richards, I mean, where are they now?
Fine examples, yeah.
Not seen them. Josh Clark.
One substitute
game.
Appearance, yeah.
Lancaster
was the same.
He's
panic signing. Yeah. Was never going to be fit enough to.
Calcutta's
still. Who was it that mummed at the Borough chat the other day? What happened to Lancaster? And I said, he was rubbish, so he didn't play anymore.
Yeah.
And he had a go at him. He had a go at me. Yeah. How can you say he's rubbish? He's playing for St Albans. That's why. That's how I can say he's rubbish.
He didn't really even play that well against Wimbledon. He just got a really good goal.
Yeah.
They fluked a good goal.
Yeah, it was 100% across.
I thought we had
I think
it
was a shot, but that's all we did.
I think
Kane.
I didn't expect it to go in.
Same as always for me, Steve. I just want to see enough entertainment to make me want to buy my ticket for the next game. I like to be entertained.
By the same token, you're one of the first people to say you're not getting entertained. But you keep coming back.
That's what I want to see. But Albert, I've seen fewer games this season than I've seen for years.
Yeah.
Probably, and much as I enjoy my injury time chat with Creaky on my way out of that end of the ground, you know, I'd like that to be the icing on the cake, if you like, rather than the best part of the afternoon. And sometimes I've felt like I don't particularly want to come back to the next game when I've left, and I want that to change, really, you know, because I enjoy the experience of being there and chatting to the people that are sitting in front of me.
Yeah,
but you want a reason to actually pay your 20 quid and come
back.
That's
what I mean, is talking to supporters like Ken, who do remember us losing against Hayes and standing there with about 300 other people a bit, and even swapping ins before we segregated. That's if people like that are thinking, then that's really poor, isn't it?
Well, there are.
Sometimes Channel 4 racings look very attractive on a Saturday afternoon.
I totally agree with that. This is like my first full season ticket, and I have on numerous occasions regretted buying it, because there's some weeks when I just think, I really can't bother.
And that's why I didn't buy one this season, because I felt last season I was going because I felt I had to rather than I wanted to, and I want to feel like I want to go.
I sometimes feel like that at a away game when he pulls up outside my house at half past 9 in the morning.
Trust Dino to drag it down.
I've missed more games this season than I did. I went to 42 out of 46 last season. I've missed 5 this season already.
Because you keep going to watch Bogdan Regis.
I'm not going to go to Carlisle again after that game I went to on my birthday. But
your girlfriend wishes you'd go to Carlisle on the regular.
Yeah. I'm missing Morecambe to go to Leicester. That's why I'm a part-timer now.
How long have you had your girlfriend?
Since Northampton.
Alright.
See, that's still commitment. You still judge your girlfriend by matches.
By match.
I've known my girlfriend since Woking.
She went to the Northampton game, but hasn't been since.
Still spoke to me after that, yeah.
Was that your first date?
No.
Oh. He met her there.
He'd take her to KFC on the Friday night.
Well, there's plenty of food for thought there.
You've got to answer it. Come on, don't make me wrong. You know I'm going to ask you the question. Just throw your answer. Steve, what are you looking forward to for the rest of this season?
Looking forward to that pitch getting better. It was awful on Saturday, wasn't it?
Deliberately awful.
Yeah.
Surely.
You see?
I'm not sure that's strictly true, because if you look at where Exeter were warming up, they were warming up right in the middle of the pitch, whereas we always warm up right over to the far
that
side.
That against Morecambe as well. They warmed up down one
and
side.
And I remember thinking, the pitch is really cutting up. Why are they still warming up in the middle of the pitch? If they're going to want to play a passing game, don't cut the pitch up.
It was in bad nick against Everton, wasn't it? Mm. It was cutting up that night in the youth game. I think that didn't help.
The chairman was taking photographs after the game, wasn't he? He was pretty
was
upset.
He?
Yeah.
He
was.
Well, perhaps I've been rash then.
Was he filming in a dugout?
Tactic. I thought that would have been a great tactic.
That's not allowed as evidence,
no,
apparently. Because Graham asked the gentlemen of Roef to get their iPhones out to start recording when the Morecambe bloke started cuddling the fourth official.
You know, with some of the tactical performances this season, I thought the iPad didn't have a charger.
That's a bit unfair on Mitch.
No, he was certainly in discussion with the groundsman after the game and taking pictures, and I think things will be done about that, but
exactly.
I mean, when you look at the pitch, it's probably held up longer than it has in seasons gone by, but I mean, Saturday it was just alarming how quickly it seemed to just turn.
It wasn't alarming at all, was it? It stopped the ball going along the ground. It was nice.
It's insane, yeah. It looks like the whole thing's moving there. It looks like the grass root hasn't taken it.
Well, I think that was the general conclusion that there's a problem with the root base, and I don't know, it's a bit technical for me.
I remember seeing one of the early games actually where there was a sliding tackle by the box. The pitch actually came up like a rug.
Roll the turf.
You just had to pull it back.
Pull it back, yeah. Just get those crisp packets, sweep them under there, and that'd be all right.
I think there's plenty of food for thought there, wasn't there, out of all that. And
we're going to have to split this into two for easy to listen to, aren't we?
We will. We'll do a two-part one, this one. And but I think, you know, hopefully people will be listening to this that need to listen to it, because I think we've had a fairly candid discussion about how people's general thoughts are, and it's a good cross section of the fans as well, so I think that's the overriding thing.
We should get paid for this, like public service, isn't it? I reckon the club should fund this.
Yeah, do you reckon?
Yep, I do.
No comment.
I'm
going to start watching what we say.
No.
Can't slag people off. And
a bit like North Korea.
Can't do that.
North Korea.
That's a kind of listening group that Mr. Weber would.
This would be double the size
like,
of
it?
The Apprentice.
It's a focus group.
Focus group, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I think Mr. Weber is well aware of what goes on here.
I think it'd be foolish not to. Anyone laughs about the fact that Graham doesn't read Borough Chat. Maybe he doesn't read it personally, but.
He does.
I just mean I'm not in a position to say one way or the other whether he does, but I think if you're running a football club at whatever level of management you're running it, you can't ignore what the fans are saying. They're the people who pay the wages at the end of the day. I think anyone who suggests that there's no reading that goes on from anyone inside the club, I think is talking nonsense.
I don't think it's a debate whether he reads it, it's a debate whether he posts on it.
Yeah.
And who it is that he posts as
angry Graham Wesley.
It would be good if Graham did the fake Graham account. That would just be brilliant.
Graham to Yorkshire Borough. He was quite vocal at one point. He's disappeared, hasn't he? I think he might have been somebody.
Piped down a bit sharpish, didn't it?
I got on his nerves once. I can't remember what I did, but I think that pushed him off.
I think I got on his nerves once when I outed him on here. That might have annoyed him a little bit more. A bit quiet after that, didn't it?
Okay, chaps, I mean, predictions, I don't know. We need to predict against the next couple of games.
Is Tony Roberts still in goal for Dagenham?
He's 55.
Is
he going to have both arms available?
Certainly not.
A defeat and a win.
Be like conference days, wouldn't it? Got Dagenham and Cambridge.
Yeah.
We're away, so don't we?
A defeat and a win.
Day, so we'll lose that one,
we need to go around the circle.
All right, many thanks everybody that's turned up. I won't go around and name you all again. We've done all that. You're dead right. Terrible memory. But, Mark and Dean and myself, happy Christmas to everybody and very prosperous New Year.
Yeah,
very good
Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
See you at Dagenham.
Graham Wesley as well to the Lamex. Looked a little bit feisty at times, including some exchanges from Tanya. Well, he's always got plenty to say. Mostly been to load him on Toffee.
This podcast was brought to you in association with www.boroughguide.co.uk. If you'd like to contact the podcast team or contribute to a future edition, please email us at aloadofoldtoffee@gmail.com, and that's with no spaces. You can also join us on Facebook by searching for A Load of Old Toffee, or you can follow us on Twitter at Old Toffee, again, no spaces.
A Load of Old Toffee. Load of Old Toffee.